Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Hi, I'm Keith Riley. I went to school at HBU, my favorite place, I think, in all of my growing up years in Texas and in Houston. Mostly, I met my wife there, so that's been a really great thing. Her name's Liz, and we enjoyed our time there, not only just getting to meet each other, but to build out friendships that have lasted for a lifetime. Two of my groomsmen were HBU guys that I met there along the way. Mentors, Colette Cross and others that have poured into me and shaped me into who I am today. I went to school there for my bachelor's degree from 2006 to 2010, studied Christianity and biblical languages, and then stayed for my master's degree in theological studies. And I'd say it was those years there that have formed me and shaped me and allowed me to be the person that I really am today. It's not something I just say lightly, but I truly mean that. And I've always felt like HBU was a place that God called me to, that God formed me and shaped me and launched me out for to do the work of his kingdom that I'm doing now in church life across the nation.
You know, Keith, you've got a great story. Tell us about your family. Bring us up to date.
Sure. Yeah. So my wife, Liz, and I, we met there. I guess it was right at the end of my undergrad career when I was a senior, and we started dating while I was doing my master's degree. We got engaged right after I finally got a job. You know, it's got to wait until you actually have a paycheck to pop the question, but I proposed to her on the HBU campus. We took a walk around all the different places that had meant so much to us on the campus and proposed to her there. So that was, we got engaged in 2012, married in 2013. And then now we have a little girl, Amaya, and she was born in 2017. So she's almost four. She'll turn four in August this year, which is hard to believe. So we've journeyed in Houston for a while, and now we find ourselves out in California in the Bay Area. We live in Redwood City. I work at a church here in Menlo Park, California now.
Well, Redwood City, it's such a beautiful place to live, but boy, when we talk about lockdowns during the pandemic, they took it literally in California. Pretty much of a contrast to Texas, huh?
Yeah, it definitely has been. It's been an interesting thing to live life here in this kind of setting to handle a pandemic, and then social media or calling back to our family, and just it almost feels like two different worlds for sure. We experienced that a little bit going back at Christmas time when we see family, and it was just almost like culture shock going to a different country. So
I had a friend call me from Seattle, and he was coming to Texas, and he said, "Are any restaurants open?" And I thought it was a joke. And I said, "Yeah, everywhere." And he said, "None are open up here." Anyhow, so you, so many things we could talk about, but after serving at Tollywood Baptist Church in Houston, you're now the director of life groups at Menlo Church in Menlo Park, that beautiful area, suburb of San Francisco. So tell us how your education theologically at HBU helped you in the position you're in now serving the church.
I'm really, really thankful for the whole theology department there at HBU and just everything that they did for me. You know, I came as a little 18-year-old kid that thought I'd figured everything out about the Bible because I'd gone to, you know, Bible study my whole life growing up. And quickly they helped me realize how much I needed to learn and to grow. Helped me reshape a lot about my theology, how I saw the world, the Bible, how to read it. But especially, I'm really grateful for my professors who also had been pastors, like Randy Hatchett, who had this long experience of being within church life, or Joe Blair, who's now retired from there, Gene Wofford, all those guys, Felice Sagwe, who could help me marriage what I'd experienced in church with also the theology side of things. And, you know, that meant so much to me. Dr. Sloan's classes that I got to take with him just completely helped break open some theological questions that I had always had and help me to see things a little bit better. So, you know, that kind of base foundation that they gave me there for starting to learn about theology and how to read the Bible and then how to contextualize it, how to take it into the church, into the world in which I lived. Yeah, just meant a ton. It's my master's degree. I got to take a class with Dr. Dwayne Brooks, who then became my boss and pastor at Tallawood. And so taking even that class with him, it was on pastoral care and spiritual formation. And I mean, you know, those are the types of moments that have just stuck with me all the way through as I've been a pastor. Those things that I learned sitting in those classes, hearing their stories, hearing how they took certain passages from the Bible or things that happened in church history and helped me see how it was going to matter and what I was going to do within the church going forward.
You know, the Menlo Church in Menlo Park is known all over America. I mean, it's one of the leading churches of the country. What's it been like in the pandemic? I mean, your director of life groups, I assume those are Zoom groups. I don't know. I mean, catch us up to what kind of shock adjustment you've had during the pandemic. And then what's the prediction after the pandemic? I think that's what we're all waiting to see from a churchianity standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely had to, you know, pivot on everything and try to refigure out how to do church on a digital landscape. Luckily, we had some very talented people that got our kind of worship services and everything kind of going online. And then for me on the life groups, you know, that's our kind of small group ministry where we've tried to get people to find each other that can walk in life and journey together. And so what a time to need those people. And so a lot of them figured out Zoom very quickly or whatever it might be so that they could stay with each other. And for a lot of our church, that's really been the lifeline for them, is to have those relationships, to have those people that no matter how tired they might've been of Zoom or digital interfacing, they were ready to get on and see their friends and to connect and to hear each other and to read scripture together and to pray for each other and to encourage each other during what's just been a crazy year. And so, so we've tried to double into that. You know, we've even launched new groups during the midst of that. If you imagine meeting people for the first time digitally, but, you know, this people need this. You know, I think God created us to need each other, to be able to help each other, to walk with each other in those ways. And so, so we've really tried to figure out how we can continue to be intentional towards that end of things, of helping people get connected going forward. But, you know, we're pretty much planning on always now having just an online campus. So we'll always have an online campus as one of our offerings for people, and just try and figure out how we can reach people through that. And then going forward, we'll see. You know, unlike Texas, we're preparing now to kind of come back in person, hopefully soon. And so, you know, we're expecting probably 30-40% of our people back, you know, initially, and just to see what that kind of looks like. But yeah, definitely church is going to shift or change a little bit. But I think as far as, you know, thinking about discipleship and formation and how we help that with people, you know, it's really, I think, also open people up to see that their faith is more than just showing up on a Sunday and going to church, that their faith really is this thing that they've got to cultivate and to step into and to pay attention to all throughout the week. And that God is meeting them even in their Zoom meetings and their workspaces, and how can the church help them take those steps of growth beyond just the Sunday morning of coming to hearing songs or hearing a great sermon. But how can they in their every ordinary day life walk in the way of Jesus? And so I know for me and my team, that's a lot of what we're focusing on, is how can we help people going forward, whether they're in person or digitally, to grow in those spaces.
You know, it's interesting. Over a decade ago, I was in Seoul, Korea with Youngi Cho at his church. And Cho, I'll never forget, came up to the platform and said, well, you know, they had 25,000 people in the room. He said, we just want to welcome 100,000 people that are streaming with us. And I turned to my son, I said, streaming, what in the world's that? And I said, let's do that. Well, we later did that in our church well before streaming was kind of in vogue. But, you know, later coming to Houston, I remember Dr. Ed Young and I were together, and I challenged him. I said, Dr. Young, I said, no matter how many people you have here, you really need to have an online church. And this was like in 2015 or 14 when we had this conversation. What we all didn't know was that the pandemic made it a non-alternative. And I just am interested, as you move forward, I know everybody wants to get together. And I think if the pandemic's proved anything, we are social creatures. We crave one another for reasons that God designed. But you made something, an interesting remark a moment ago. You said that you will have an online campus in the future. Can you elaborate?
Yeah. So, you know, we're multi-site here. So we've had 6 campuses of in-person. And so now going forward, we're going to have a 7th campus, and it's going to be the online campus. So we'll have a campus pastor who is, you know, focused on that little group of people that, you know, we've had a lot of people from outside the Bay Area tuning in and being part of our congregation during this time. You know, we have weekly services where we have a chat platform, and we have people jumping on there and communicating with us from different states around the nation, but then also around the world. And so we realize that there's a group of people that are wanting to connect and be part of our community. And so we want to show our appreciation and help in that. And so this online campus will have a pastor that's looking after them. We'll have groups that, you know, all meet online going forward, no matter what. And so no matter where you're at, you can jump onto those groups and have community in that space. And so it's just our way of just acknowledging that this is this online experience isn't going to go away anytime soon. And also, you know, being in the Bay Area, we have people that travel all the time too. So it's for all of our people that are traveling for work or for different things, it's a space where they know no matter where they are, they can be at home at Menlo through the online platform.
That's really cool, Keith. Now, tell me, how did you come to HBU? Are you a Houston boy?
Yeah, I'm a Houston boy. I was born there. My dad, you know, he went to school there, I think maybe for like a quarter way back when in the 80s. And so he kind of recommended it to me. And so I had grown up in a few small towns outside of Houston and was longing to kind of get out of the sticks of East Texas and get back to the city. And Houston just always felt like home to me. And so found HBU. It was actually the only school I applied to. I applied, got in, and said, this is the school for me. And I never looked back. It was the right decision. So,
well, you know, Keith, I'm interested because, you know, I've been in the Bay Area buku amount of times.
Yeah.
And, you know, Houston's, I always tell people, I said, this may not be the prettiest city, but it has the most beautiful people. And there's not a week that goes by that I'm not reminded how beautiful the people are of Houston, Texas. I mean, in our ice winter storm, our neighbors, again, I thought I lived in Mayberry RFD, how kind they were to each other. And what's it like to be in an environment like that and then to get transplanted in San Francisco Bay Area?
Sure. Yeah. It's definitely a little bit different for us here in the Bay Area. You know, luckily we were coming into the Menlo as our home. And so yeah, that helped a lot for us. And, you know, there's so many people from all over here. And I think that's
right.
There is a little similarity to that with Houston. You know, it's just there are a lot of people influxing in. And so I think in that, you know, we've found, you know, our people and a lot of them are transplants, new people that are kind of coming in and what that looks like. But, you know, to the older populations of the church, for sure, have had that same kind of feel of wanting to make us feel at home, wanting us to make sure that, you know, we've been cared for. There's a great older couple that, you know, they've constantly checked up on us during the pandemic. You know, they've said, say, are y'all doing okay? It must be really rough with a toddler there. Can we help in any way? You know, they sent us some money on DoorDash, you know, like, we know it's hard. Just don't cook tonight. Here's some money. So, you know, there's still been some definitely pockets of that. But yeah, it's definitely a little different in culture, but I can drive 15 minutes and hike in some redwoods and 30 minutes to the Pacific Ocean. So I guess it levels off a little bit there.
And the summer doesn't have quite as much humidity.
That is true. That is true.
Keith, you know, we have some people that have sons and daughters that are thinking about, where do I vector my son or daughter to the university?
Yeah.
Where should I go? We have also pastors, associate pastors, people serving the church wondering, should it be the School of Christian Thought or somewhere else? Why don't I just let you tell everybody why HBU, and in particular, the School of Christian Thought, should be choice number one for their academic training?
Yeah. I mean, so much to say there. I mean, the whole school, you know, formed me so deeply, whether it was just through, if you're thinking about coming in as an undergrad, you know, the entire, all of the staff, not just, even the faculty, they truly care about you, and they care about your life and who you are. I mean, I was so dumb in so many ways coming to school, and you know, so many people still cared for me, and even in mistakes and other things, wanted to see me become the best person that I really could be through the midst of that. And so, you know, if you're looking for a place where people are going to care for you and not just see you as a number or somebody, another student, but as somebody made in God's image, somebody that they really want to care for and shape. I mean, the whole school is amazing for that. But then in the School of Christian Thought, you know, I mean, class sizes are amazing. I remember just sitting in those groups and always being able to ask questions that I had, to be able to express opinions and to have dialogue around that and discussion. And, you know, most of my classes were not just a lecture for a period of time, but it was the professor inviting us into what are we really learning and cultivating that in the midst of it. And then, you know, like I said earlier, so many of them have experience within church life as well. And so that piece has really helped. But, you know, there's also just so many great young minds that I've seen coming to the school to teach recently. Ben Blackwell was amazing for me in my master's program when he came in, and his ties to Tom Wright and so much that just was just wonderful to learn from. And Paul Sloan and others who are up and coming, I think, theology professors that just truly care about helping people understand theology well so that their life with God is formed deeply. And, you know, I just see so many people go through seminary or other schools where they get a lot of great head knowledge, but it never really soaks into the heart. And I think that kills pastors so much when they go out. And I think at HBU, there was this emphasis on, yeah, you need to get all this right. You need to understand these things. You need to know this about Martin Luther and these dates. But really, it needs to get in here, and it really needs to just soak inside of you, and you need to truly enter into this way of Jesus for this to really matter for your life. You know, it's a lot of what led me to Menlo. Those were my early stages of getting to know Richard Foster and Dallas Willard, who were people that heavily influenced John Ortberg, that led me towards a church that was focused on that. So, yeah, I can't emphasize that enough, that it's a place that just truly helps you not just learn about theology, but become a person in the way of Jesus. So
I could not agree more. And, you know, Keith, when I think about the way you and your family are points of light for Jesus Christ, HBU is so proud of you, so proud to call you alumni, so proud of what you're doing in a great church there in California, the Menlo Church in Menlo Park. For those who don't know, that's a suburb of San Francisco. It's literally, yeah, one of the real entrepreneurial capitals of the country, the Silicon Valley. You can learn more about how to become a part of HBU. There's a place for you in the family of HBU at hbu.edu/admissions or call 281-649-3211. And remember our graduate school that Keith alluded to, hbu.edu/grad. If the pandemic's done anything else, it's reminded some people you can move on up the academic ladder and get that master's degree. And HBU has a tremendous smorgasbord of degrees available. Keith, thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, our very best to you and your wife and family. And we all are going to get out of the pandemic and actually go to McDonald's and have a cheeseburger someday. So just keep your chin up and know that a bunch of people down here in Houston are rooting you on and very proud of you, okay?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
God bless you, my friend.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.